Jim McGovern is from Massachusetts' beautiful 2nd District. He's on the Congressional Corner today, and we've been asking him about some of the most important things. He's the chairman of the Powerful Rules Committee, which means he's right in that leadership group, which knows what's going on. The president came out with a budget proposal. DOA?
I hope so. It's a lousy budget. I mean, look, budgets are moral documents. They show you what we value as a country, what's important to us. And when you look at the president's budget, you know, all the things that I value, all the things that most of my constituents value have been obliterated. I mean, he cuts, you know, money for environmental protection. He cuts money for the National Institutes of Health. You know, he cuts money for, you know, public education. He goes after programs to help our, you know, community development block grants, which so many cities and towns use to be able to help improve the quality of life for their people in their cities and towns. His budget goes after Medicare and Medicaid and Social Security. I mean, I can go right down the list. It goes after those people who are hungry, who are on SNAP. So it is a terrible, terrible budget. And it's a budget that also adds greatly to our deficit and our debt because he wants to make permanent all of his tax cuts, most of which are aimed at the well-connected and the well-off, big corporations and billionaires. It doesn't do much for the middle class. It doesn't do anything for those struggling to get in the middle class. So this is a terrible, terrible budget. And the problem when any administration comes out with something like this, it's so bad that, you know, again, I'm afraid that the aim of especially Mitch McConnell will be just to make it a little bit better as a way to kind of move it past the finish line. This budget is terrible. It would hurt our economy. It would hurt lots of vulnerable people. It would hurt the middle class in this country.
Talk to me a little bit about SNAP. This is a baseline for a lot of people being able to not go hungry. What do you think?
Right. Yeah, I mean, we live in the richest country in the history of the world, and we get 40 million people who are food insecure or hungry. I mean, that's just a fact. That's according to Donald Trump's USDA. I'm ashamed of that fact. I mean, I think we all should be ashamed of that fact. And SNAP is the premier, you know, anti-hunger initiative out there to keep people at least a little bit, so they keep their head a little bit above water. The average SNAP benefit is about $1.40 per person per meal, which is, you can't buy a cup of coffee for that. And so most people on SNAP end up going to the food banks mid-month. And, you know, I hear the president say, well, these people should just get a job. Well, the majority of people on SNAP aren't expected to work because they're kids or they're senior citizens or they're disabled. Of those who can work, of those who are able-bodied and who can work, the vast majority work. But they earn so little, they still qualify for the benefit. So why isn't the discussion about making sure that work pays enough so that people don't live in poverty? You know, why is it always about beating up on poor people? And it really, to me, is, you know, it really frustrates me that the president is pushing a perception, a narrative on SNAP that doesn't reflect reality. The bottom line is that the vast majority of people on the program who can work, work, and the average amount of time that somebody is on the benefit is less than a year. Again, that's not me. That's the president's USDA that would say that. And yet, too often when you hear the president talk and others, Republicans talk, you think that this is a lifelong endeavor to be on this program, or that somehow it's this overly generous program where you can buy filet mignon and lobster tails, when in fact it's about $1.40 per person per meal. That's it.
And yet, I hate to mention this, Jim McGovern, but a lot of people who voted for Donald Trump are on the lower end of the economic spectrum. How do we explain that?
I mean, that's a good question. You know, I've always wondered why, it's not just in this election, but in other elections, where sometimes, you know, people vote against their self-interest. I mean, some people may be motivated by some other aspect of the president's presentation on the campaign trail, you know, or, you know, some people may have bought into him saying, oh, elect me, I'm a multimillionaire, and I'll make more millionaires, you'll all be well off, and they might have fallen for that. But I hope that they don't fall for it again, because this president has made things a lot more miserable for a lot of people who are struggling in this country. Yeah, the economy, if you look at, you know, the stock market is doing pretty well. But the stock market doesn't necessarily mean that people who live on Main Street are doing well. And there's a lot of people that I represent who are living paycheck to paycheck, who aren't seeing a real increase in their wages, who are worried about healthcare costs continuing to rise, who are really in the situation of economic insecurity, if you will. And we need to start addressing that. I mean, the strength of our economy is not not just about how the wealthiest and the well-off and the well-connected are doing. It's about how everybody is doing. And so I hope that people will reflect on that as we go into the election. The other thing I'm going to say, putting the economics aside, I also think that this election, is not only about Donald Trump's character, it's about our character. And, you know, when you go to vote in November, if you vote for him again, you're voting for all this offensive, terrible stuff that he tweets about, his insults, his derogatory comments about people who are struggling in poverty, his racism, his bigotry, his homophobia. I may go on and on and on. His sexism. You're putting a stamp of approval on all of that. And we need to return some decency in this country. We need politics to be better than it is right now. And he's the president of the United States. And for him to say the things he says and do the things he's doing, I mean, you see what's going on right now, his interference in our justice system with regard to Roger Stone and trying to get his attorney general. I mean, this is the stuff that happens in fascist countries. It doesn't happen here. And we need to be strong and we need to push back on that. And I hope people do that in November.
I should ask you about the EPA and the cuts that he's proposing there. I know you're an environmentalist. It's pretty alarming, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, when you cut the EPA budget, by the way, not only are we setting back any kind of progress to deal with the climate crisis, but you're also, making it impossible for cities and towns to get the money to clean up, brownfields so that they can redevelop that property. You're also making it impossible for communities to be able to clean up rivers and lakes and improve the quality of water and quality of air in our communities. I mean, it's so short-sighted and so backward-thinking and so irrational, especially at this moment in time. So, look, we all will suffer as a result of that. And I don't get it, other than the fact that if you're a fossil fuel company or a major polluter, you don't want any accountability. You don't want anybody to demand that you clean up your act so that people in your community are safer. And I find that unconscionable.
I've only got a couple of minutes here, but I wanted to ask you about H.R. 3, the prescription drug price bill.
Right.
Of all the great disgraces in this country, the idea that these guys are getting away in this country, but not in others, with what they're getting away with is really, in my mind, criminal.
Yeah. Look, I met with a group of parents whose kids are diabetics. They're, all rely on insulin. Right. And the parents were showing me the bills. And they said they continue to go up. And insulin's been a drug that's been around for a long, 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 long time. Why the hell, is a drug like insulin, subject to these price increases every single year? The answer is because the drug companies get away with it. The same insulin you buy in Canada is a fraction of that cost. We invest tax dollars in important medical research that is used by these drug companies to develop these breakthrough drugs, and yet we end up, getting gouged by these pharmaceutical companies. One of the biggest reasons why healthcare costs are rising is because of drug prices. H.R. 3, we passed that in the House, is a way to deal with it. Now, if Mitch McConnell doesn't like our approach, he could pass a different approach and we can reconcile the differences. But Mitch McConnell won't even bring up a bill in the Senate to deal with drug prices. And that is unforgivable. And I hope that that's a message that resonates with people all across this country. We're trying to come up with solutions to deal with some of these challenges that regular people face. But then we're blocked in the Senate and we're blocked in the White House. If you want to lower drug prices, we got to change the Senate and we got to change the guy in the White House.
We are talking to Jim McGovern, congressman from the 2nd District, a beautiful place, right next door to our 1st District where I live. Jim, thank you. And when we come back the next time, I'm going to ask you the question. So everybody be listening. Thanks, Jim.